The psalmist said, "Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment." I read that verse. Of course, I've read the Bible through many times, but I read that verse recently and I've never really noticed it to study the verse alone. Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Now, there are several times in the Bible where we are reminded that darkness covers us as a garment, and that's certainly not hard to understand. There are two kinds of mysteries. Now, follow me very, very carefully. There are two kinds of mysteries. There is the mystery that is made so because it's covered in darkness. Some objects are mysteries because they're hidden in the dark. And we strain to make them out. We see a little bit of their form or their silhouette. But we strain to make them out because they're in the darkness. And because they are in the darkness and clothed with darkness, they're mysteries to us. However, there's a second mystery, or clothing of mystery, and that is here, clothed with light, as with a garment. Now, this is the message, so follow me here. The world, you go anywhere in Hammond tonight, where the world is, and it's dark. It's dark. Go down on State Street, some of these little leap-in, limp-out places, and you'll find they're dark. You go to the nightclubs, you'll find they're dark. You go to liberal churches, you'll find they're dark. Lights are all out, nobody's there, thank God. Somebody said, "Brother Hiles, does it upset you that these liberal churches don't have church on Sunday night?" No, that doesn't upset me at all. It upsets me they do have it on Sunday morning. But I think the fact that the liberal churches are closed on Sunday night is one of the greatest blessings in the whole world. But the farther a church, now hear me carefully, the farther a church gets away from this book, the darker the building gets. It's always that way. I like it light. I like the lights on. I don't like coming here and have part of the lights on. I like them all on. We're having a meeting of four people down here on the front. I don't want those lights on. I want all the lights on. First thing I did when I came to this church was put more lights in the old auditorium over there. Now, there are things, by the way. See, God is light. Now, the devil is clothed in darkness. Because the only way that he can have that mystery is to be clothed with darkness as a garment. But there are things that are genuine and profound enough that when brought to the fullest light, new wonders of mystery appear. And there is more mystery in them in the light than there is in the darkness with other things. For example, I decided to check this out as I was thinking about this message. I went to four places that sell artificial diamonds. Four places. In every case, the building was rather dark. I went to four places that sell expensive diamonds. In every case, the building was bright with light. You know why? Because the real thing has more mystery to explore when you see it all than the counterfeit does when it has mystery in the dark. I'm saying the more you know of it, the more you realize that you don't know of it. The more you see, the more you realize it's covered. You follow what I'm trying to say? You turn the light on a real diamond, it'll have just as much mystery or more mystery than it'll have in the dark. There are little chips and spots and there are little glows and views. You can look at it, look, you can look at it for
ever.
And you will still see something new.
Why? Because it's genuine. Brother, when you got the genuine thing in the light, it still has ages and ages of things to explore. I know some people like that. They're a vast reservoir of mystery, even in the light. And to explore their minds is to want to explore more of their minds. There are people who read and think and meditate and fill their minds with jewels of truth. And to talk to them and to have them teach you a truth opens up the realization that there is so much more back there than I ever thought was back there. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was that way. Listen, Dr. Bob, the more he taught you, the more you knew he knew that he hadn't taught you yet. Every time he opened a door of truth, there were two doors that all of a sudden right in front of you that you could see again. You open those two doors of truth, there are four doors of truth right in front of you. Why? There was something about that man's mind that made me want to just pull and pull and pull and pull because I wanted to find out what was in there. Why? It was genuine and it was real. Dr. Rice was that way. I sat across the table from that man over 5,000 times and had meal with him. And every time I sat there, it was always something new, something fresh. That mind was so filled with jewels, and every jewel had many different views at which you could see it, that I'd sit there and just, and every time he'd teach me something, there were two other things I could think of that I bet you knew the answer to, which is the answer that I wanted to find out. I'm saying that God is telling us here that truth, real truth, is more mysterious clothed with light. Now, clothing hides. Hope some of you ladies remember that this summer. Clothing hides. I saw a sign not long ago encouraging it said, ladies ready to wear clothing. I said, that's good. I'm glad they are. Saw another sign said, ladies clothing 1/3 off. I said, more than that of it off these days. Whenever I say something that you think I think is funny, you laugh. You do not laugh when you think it's funny. You laugh when you think I think it's funny. Saw a sign of the day said, ladies' clothing 1/3 off. I said, 2/3 off. I liked it better the other way when you were sincere. The clothing covers. And one of the reasons, this is parenthetical, one of the reasons why this old nation of ours has gone so homosexual is because there's nothing left that's covered. By the way, I haven't blessed God yet for 7-Eleven. I mean, it's time we just said something about 7-Eleven. Thank God they took all the dirty magazines off the shelves. They were the biggest single distributor of pornographic literature in the world, and now I hope Hugh Hefner doesn't get to eat but two meals a day. Hope he has to drive a Ford now instead of some Cadillac. But I'm saying that covering our garments are to cover, and the Bible says that God is covered with light as with a garment. What does it mean? It means that God has such a mystique, and there's so much about Him, till you shine the light on Him, that covers God, and it means that with the light shine on Him, and what you see means there's so much more to see. Occasionally on my journeys, I meet somebody like this, a certain preacher down in Florida. I don't fellowship much with preachers. I'm tired of hearing gossip. The preachers sometimes are a lot like human beings, and I don't like that. I won't listen to it. I won't do it. I won't listen to anything bad. I don't care if it's true or false. I won't listen to anything bad.
Won't do it, won't do it, won't do it, won't do it.
And, by the way, you get like that, and they'll get to where they'll know it, and they get my tapes, they're hearing it right now across the country, and they get the idea, they won't try to tell you anything bad.
I was the famous preacher a few years ago, very famous preacher, I called his name, everybody here would know it. He got up at the end of the meeting, he said, I haven't enjoyed this meeting at all. He said, Brother Hiles won't gossip or listen to gossip, and he said, I love it, and I'm just itching to get out of here and talk to somebody else. Well, he won't do it with me. There's just no way. I only have one computer up here, and I'm not going to fill it with negatives. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to fill yours with negatives either, by the way. Not going to do it. But I'm saying that occasionally in my journeys, I'm going to call some preacher that loves to talk about ideas, philosophies, and great truths of the Bible and of life. Preacher in Florida. I said a while ago, like that. Boy, I love to sit and talk with him. I mean, we could talk. He's probably the only one preacher, maybe of one or two, with whom I'll eat out after the service. Because, brother, he can sit there for hours and philosophize and talk about great truths in the Bible. He'll ask me questions that'll cause my mind to be exercised and stimulated and stirred. And I'm simply saying that truth is that way. Now, error has to be hidden to have a mystique. But when you shine the light on a truth and you see that truth is a covering for many other truths that are there, and the light shines on those. And brother, thank God, when you learn a truth, it opens to another truth, and it opens to another truth, and it opens to another truth, and it opens to another truth. And light is its covering. I was in Virginia this not long ago. Found a young man there. I say young man, he was 34 years old. It's a baby, me. And he said, Dr. Hiles, could I see you at a certain time? I said, well, if you have to, I will. I hesitate to do it because I thought what was going to happen. Did you hear about so-and-so? And he's in some trouble. Did you hear about this and about him and about that? They say that great minds talk about ideas and good minds talk about things and weak minds talk about people. And I am, but I said, okay, if you have to see me, I'll see you. It's about an hour and a half to see him. I don't like to just sit. And I got there, and brother, he got out his little list. And he said, Dr. Hiles, what do you think about this truth? Man alive, as I turned the light on, I said, boy, I just love to tell you what I think about it. He said, is this the way you feel? I said, how do you feel, young son? And he said, well, this is the way I feel. And I said, man, that's good. And I said, well, I think. And boy, we sat there an hour and a half, and we discussed the great truths of the Bible. And every time we shined the light on one of those truths, I mean, others, jumped up. Every time we opened one door, a dozen other doors. And brother, before we got through an hour and a half of it, we were feasting on the great truths of God. Covered with light. I'm saying you shine the light on truth, brother, and it acts as a covering for all the other truth that cause you have that gives you a mystique, and you want to explore it and explore it. By the way, this book is that way. See, here's your trouble. You don't read it. You say, oh, before I go to bed, I got to read the Bible because priest said I'll go to hell if I don't. Oh, here goes. His mother's name was Mishkela, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. I never could understand the Bible. Well, try reading the one ads that way, and you won't understand the newspaper either. But if you'll get in this Bible and get on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm going to give you an hour. I'm going to read this book. You lead me. And if you'll pay attention to you while you read it and read it in the Spirit, I guarantee you every truth that God opens up to you. Listen, I've read John 3:16 all my life. I'll guarantee you I could preach on John 3:16 for 6 months every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Why? Because shed the light on this book, and the light is a covering of other truths that you explore, and shed the light on them, and that opens up other truths and covers new truths that you can explore, and the light on truth is
makes a mystery more than error does in darkness. Bible's that way. Every time you learn a truth in this book, I mean if you really want to learn it, every time you learn a truth in this book, it opens up to other truths. Every time you go through the door, opens up other doors. It's always new, always fresh, always is. I've been studying this book now regularly, I mean regularly, for 40 years. And somewhat for most of my life, but regularly, for 40 years. I don't mean to sound like a great Bible student. I'm not, as I said, an intellectual. But I spend my time in my book. I guarantee you, I spend time in the book. And brother, many a day, I'll be on the airplane reading this book, and I'll be digging in the thing, and I'll find a certain verse, and I'll say, "Woo, my soul, woo!" The guy beside me will say, "What are you hollering about?" And I'll say, "Looky here, man, let me show you what I just found. I mean, it's unbelievable." You can sit by the house, "Where do you get all those ideas about scriptures you preach about?" I read the book. Yeah. Read the book. You do too. You read the commentaries. I'll guarantee you, brother, you get hung up on one of those commentaries and can't understand it, open your Bible, it'll explain it for you. Read the book. Read the book. Let me just say a few things about that. I think we're listening too much to Christian radio, if there's such thing. I think we're spending too much time reading daily devotional books, if you don't mind. Brother, get back in the Bible and my books. Which together of our origin is all truth. But I mean that. I think we're spending too much time listening to one after the other on so-called Christian radio. I mean, I think it's time. Listen, if you took all the time that you listen, that you spent listening to the lineup of us, one after the other, and read this book and asked the Holy Spirit to teach you and paid attention to it while you read it, you'd be a great Bible teacher. The book is inexhaustible. It's clothed within light. Holy Spirit's that way. You know, we at pastor school every year, we found the Holy Spirit can plan pastor school real well. He messed this one up, I'll guarantee you for sure. We had a lot of things planned. But, it's always something new and fresh when you follow the Holy Spirit. It's always. People say, "All those stories are really true." Now, you haven't been hanging around the Holy Spirit very much. Every time that He leads you and you follow Him one step, He's clothed with light. And behind the clothing of that light are other mysteries that you want to explore. You explore those and they form a covering of light. And He's always fresh and He's always new. Now, the Savior's that way. And we come now to the main thrust of what I want to say tonight. The Savior's that way. The Lord Jesus is inexplorable. His person is inexhaustible. Now, He hungers for you to try to explore His personality. Hey, is there anybody that you to whom you've talked that you wish you could talk to for a couple hours? You know, the one you call on the phone, gossip. I don't mean that one. Is there anybody, you know, I wish I could get you hungry for truth and truth. I'll tell you what, if I thought I could find one truth about this Bible in Seattle, Washington tomorrow, I'd get on a plane and fly through the night tonight to get that truth and fly back. I mean it. And I wish I could get you hungry for truth. You know, Jesus, I think, so wants us to explore Him. He's got so many things He wants to teach us. But we keep Him in darkness. I was thinking a while ago, the Bible, if it's in darkness, you won't get as much truth as if it's light. I wanted to say to the Pope, "Hey, shine the light on the book for the Catholic people. Let them read it. Let them clothe it in light, not in darkness." But we want it mysterious. We want big helmets on the preachers. And kimonos on them, too. And candles so they can walk. Yeah. I mean, so they can really... It's too slick up there. It keeps falling off. Lenin, brother, listen. When you got the truth, turn your lights on. Open the book. Let your people read it. Give them a copy. Say, read it.
Our Lord, I think you're so hungry tonight for somebody to come to him and ask him to talk on his own level. He encourages us to lay our homely burdens at his feet. I think he wants the widow to cry for food. I think he wants the merchant to ask for business. I think he wants the schoolboy to seek help. I think he wants the sick to cry for health. A man once ran to Jesus and said, Lord, speak to my brother that he will divide the inheritance with me. And I think the Lord was interested in that mundane thing. A woman cried, give me this water. I think our Lord was concerned about giving her the water. A man once cried, help my son. I think our Lord was concerned about the health of the son. I think he's interested in the most mundane parts of our lives. Did not he tell us in the so-called Lord's Prayer, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I do not think that upsets God, you to come to him and ask him for. Any parent who has a little child loves to cut the child's meat. Any parent loves to buy the child a nice little dress. If it's a female child. Yet I think our Lord's soul longs for us to meet him on a higher ground. Occasionally he'd like to satisfy a higher need than meat and bread and potatoes. Occasionally our Lord would like to satisfy a higher need in our lives than food and clothing and shelter. All three of our girls were home at the same time. And I decided to take them all shopping. I'd rather go through the tribulation period than sit in a store while women try on clothes. I do not understand to save my life why it takes you 3 hours and 45 minutes to change from one dress to another. I don't understand it.
It messes up your hair.
I don't have that problem, thank God. But we're driving in the van. I got Brother Larry to drive the van, and I'm sitting behind Brother Larry in one of those chairs, and the girls are back there on the back and on a little sofa in the van. Back seat goes across the whole back. And Becky said, Daddy, isn't your hair getting thicker? Oh, well, I
hadn't thought about it. Maybe so. I didn't know what she was doing.
She said, Daddy, it is getting thicker. Linda, the second child, was affected by the sins of her older sister. And she said, Daddy, she's right. Your hair is getting thicker. And even Cindy fell into sin. The baby fell into sin and went away from God's perfect will for her life. She said, that's right, Daddy. And Linda said, Daddy, are you wearing a toupee?
No.
I said, this is mine. It's all mine. Oh, come on, Daddy. You got a toupee. No, I said, you think if I bought a toupee, I'd buy one look like this? But whenever I get a toupee, you'll know it. It'll start right down to your eyebrows. And it'll all be wavy just like that. You'll know it, I'll guarantee you for sure, boy. I'm getting you ready for something I'm going to buy soon. And Becky said, Daddy, you're the youngest looking 58-year-old man I ever saw in my life.
Well, thank you.
You know, I left Rosalie's three and a half wretched hours later, $1,008 in debt. I bought each one of those girls three expensive dresses.
I bought shoes to match each dress. I bought a purse to match each pair of shoes and living room curtains to match the purses.
Now, by the way, I'm not kidding. I enjoyed it. Part of it. I enjoyed the trip home. But I don't mind that. And by the way, the other day Linda called and she said, I need a little money. Could I borrow a little money? They don't mean borrow. They say borrow, but they don't mean borrow. They mean have. They say, well, could you lend me some money? They don't mean that. They mean, could you give me some money? But I'll be quite frank with you. Every time they ask me for some, I enjoy it. Up to a point. But I mean that. And I think our Heavenly Father is interested in everything about your life. He wants to take care of your needs. I think He rejoices in it because you are His child and He's your Heavenly Papa. But here. We got back to the house. Sitting in the living room. And the three girls were there. And Becky said, Dad, can I ask you a question, please? And I said, well, of course. I thought she was going to say, could you buy me a coat to go with the dress? I said, of course. What is it, Puddin'? And boy, she asked me a question about life. It's right down my alley. And man, my old antenna perked up there, you know. Both of my hair stood on end. And I said, she said, Dad, what do you think about that? And I said, honey, I'd love to tell you. And I started talking about life. And boy, that's all she had to do, just open the door. An old man like me, you open the door. And when she said that, I just started talking about that philosophy. And that led to another. And Becky, honestly, she was sitting there with her mouth open. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. And I looked around, and there was Linda over my shoulder, listening like that. And there was Cindy over there, sound asleep. I'm sorry. She was listening too. And you know, Linda said, Dad, that is wonderful. Talk some more. And boy, I talked some more. See, now, for example, buying dresses is okay. But it's not big league for me. But if it's big league for them, that's big league for me. Except, boy, when they said, Daddy, talk some more. And for 3 hours late at night, we sat around a circle there in the living room. And they asked me questions. And boy, they just... And Dad really had a time. The other day, Brother Rasmussen came to talk to me. And we had an appointment. And we talked first about the college dining hall. And the food in the college dining hall. Trying to get the attention of the worldly people now. And we're talking about the food in the college dining hall. We're going to cut out all of the food except carrot sticks. And going to cut out all the tea and serve nothing but carrot juice. But anyway, we talked about that for a while. And then Mr. Rasmussen said, could I ask you something else for Lee? Well, of course, everybody knows him, knows the guy's an intellectual. And he started asking the question. Man, every time he asked something, I said to myself, wow, we're on my level now. Of course, my level's eating too, but I'm on my level. And then he said something, and I said something, and all of a sudden the light was shining on truth. And light became the garment that covered the conversation. And every time something was said, then the light shined on the truth and covered more truth that made us want to explore what's behind that garment. And we saw that next truth, and that truth caused other truth to become mysterious. And we wanted to search out and find the other truth. And I guess for 40 minutes or so, we just sat there. And boy, I had a time. You know why? Because we're talking. What did I say wrong? Oh, kid said why. I want to see that kid after the service. He's the only person I know in this room who understands what I'm saying. I I'll tell you why, son. Son or daughter, I won't tell you why. Because we were at a level Brother Hiles tries to stay much of the time. I spend hours and hours every day thinking about truths. I mean, digging in this book to find truths. And asking God to pull back the garment of light so I can see new mysteries. And when they're revealed, other mysteries are covered with a garment of light. And they're revealed, other mysteries are covered with a garment of light. Now what I'm trying to say is this. I'm trying to say, if I like that, I wonder if God wouldn't like some time for you to come to Him, not asking Him for a hamburger or a new dress or money to pay for your house payment or car payment. I wonder if God wouldn't like you to come to Him one of these days and talk on His level and ask Him for something that's loftier and higher so God can enjoy the conversation. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say. God is shy. He'll not break the party. God lives above us. He is not one of us. And He easily feels like a stranger. He's afraid He will bore you, and God does not want to bore you. Let me tell you something that breaks my heart. Jesus has no crowd to run with. Jesus has no crowd to run with. He will not impart His truths until you have convinced Him that you want Him to. God is shy. Our Savior is shy. Do you recall that day He's walking down the road to Emmaus? You don't recall the day, but you recall the Scripture that tells about the day. Remember the story about on the road to Emmaus and in His resurrection body? And they got to their homes and they said to Him, "Would you come in and eat with us?" And Jesus said, "No." The Bible says He made as if He would go a little farther. He acted like He didn't want to go in and eat. But brother, He won't keep on talking. They said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" But He wouldn't go to that house unless He was sure they wanted Him. He had to be dead sure. He wouldn't break the party. He won't go unless you convince Him. And you've got to really convince Him. But brother, if you ever convince Jesus that you want Him for a while, and not just what He has, and you convince Him of it, you have the time of your life. I know what I'm talking about. I'll get out in the woods somewhere. I love the woods. I love to be in the trees. Not in the trees. But around the trees. Boy, you're sharp tonight, you know. Sometimes I get reckless in my preaching, and sometimes you get reckless in your responding. And you're sharp tonight, but I love to get out in the woods somewhere. And I'll say, "Now, Lord, I'm gonna look at Your book for a while. Talk to me." Now, wait a minute. You know what happens, don't you? I look at it, I read it for a while, He doesn't talk to me. You know why? He's timid. He's shy. And then I say, "Lord, I want to know. Talk to me." I read it again. He doesn't talk. And then I keep on reading it, and I say, "Lord, I'm going to read it until You start talking." Boy, as soon as I says that, He starts talking 350 words a minute. You know why? Because He's shy. He will not break the party. He will not go just because He thinks you want Him. He said to these people, and I've told you this many times, they said, "Would you come in and eat with us?" He said, "No, I've got to go on." He was going to eat with them, but He acted like He had to go on. You've done that 1,000 times. Your mother-in-law's done it at your house 1,000,000 times. She comes over to... It's interesting.
She didn't want to say and eat. Why does she come over at 5 o'clock every afternoon? And then at 6 in the morning, at 12 noon.
You've been somewhere, and boy, they were serving something real good, like pizza with cheese, mushrooms, meat, olives, ripe olives. Or maybe they were serving hamburgers. Or maybe they were serving steak, 1.5 inches thick, with baked potatoes, with cheese on top of the baked potatoes, and pecan pie. And just think, you're gonna go White Castle and eat those little biscuits after a while. We serve more at the Lord's Supper than they serve there. And you walked up and they said, "Would you like to stay for lunch?" And you say, "Oh no, I've got to go." And they'll say, "Oh, come on, come on." "No, that's okay. You don't have enough for me, too." It's one of those nights. And they'll say, "Oh, come on, we want you." "Okay." Now, the truth is, in all these years, you've never left. But you want to be begged. But our Lord will gently tiptoe away. You say, "Dear Lord, I'd like to give me this day my daily bread." He says, "I'll be glad to. I'd love to give you daily bread. I want you to have what you need. Lord, give me the clothes I need. Give me a coat for winter for the children." The Lord says, "I'd love to do that. I like that. You're my children. I like that. Lord, take care of my needs." The Lord says, "I'd love to do that. You're my child. I'd love to do that." And the Lord turns away and he waits. He wonders if you're going to ask for anything else. He has something he'd like to give you far loftier than food and far on a high, far higher level than clothing. He wants to give you some great truths. But you'll have to beg him to stay. I said again, he lives above us. He is not one of us. He easily feels like a stranger. He's afraid he'll bore you. I have that fear. I have a constant fear. As I get older, when you live a long time, anything you can say, I can think of 2 stories about it. That's why old people talk so much. We're so brilliant. But we've lived so long. Name a scripture, and I can tell you somebody got saved on that scripture, or something funny that happened about that scripture, or a sermon I heard about that scripture that changed my life, or somebody that was called to preach on that scripture. Just almost name it. But I'll be quite frank with you. You almost got to. Once you get me started, I'm gone. But getting me started on stuff like that's pretty difficult. And God has some things He'd love to tell you. He has some truths He'd love to share with you. He has some fellowship He'd like to give you. But He's afraid you don't want it. He's afraid He'd be a bore to you. He's shy. But I'll guarantee you, if you'd come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm going to spend 2 hours in this book. Lord, teach me the book." And the Lord says, "Well, I've got to go. You don't have enough for me, too." And you say, "Lord, I mean it. I want to know." If you can ever convince your Savior, let me tell you something. If you can ever convince your Savior that you want Him to teach you this book, I'll guarantee you truths will jump out to you out of this book like the fish will when they're biting. I'll guarantee you, you will. And every time you get a truth, He'll cover other truth with light. And there'll be mystery that you'll try to, like a diamond, you'll try to explore added mystery. And with every mystery you explore, there are other mysteries that you have yet to explore, and truth is covered with light.
And mystery is becomes tempting to you. I've got to learn more. I want to learn more.
There's something else, too. Prayer is that way, too. You come to God and say, now lay me down, sleep, pray, Lord, my soul, keep, I die for, we pray, Lord, my soul, take, amen. God won't, he likes that. That's very fine. That's very sweet. But you come to God and say, dear God, I'd like to spend some time with you. I'm talking about sometimes, I mean this, sometimes I'll spend 4 or 5 hours just praying. And I come to God and say, Lord, I got about 4 or 5 hours I'd like to spend with you. And I think I hear him saying, I wonder, you really want to, or you just think you got to have it because you got to have power when you preach? Do you love me? Do you want me? Or you want something from me? And I said, Lord, I want you. I want you. He says, what is it you want from me? I said, Lord, I really haven't come to you this time to get anything from you. I've come to you to get you. I want to be with you a while. I just want to be with you. And I think I see him smile. And if the Lord can shed a tear, I think he sheds a tear of joy. And he says, I think he wants me. However, it's only fair. Sometimes I trick him and get him there and then ask him for something. I heard an ignorant rabbi on the radio the other day say, God is not a person. I wanted to say, won't you add one thing with it to that sentence, and I'll agree with it. Won't you just add, as far as I know. As far as I know. God's a person. And God's a great person. And the greater the person is, the more he needs to feel wanted. I wish you could have known how shy Dr. Rice was. If some of the younger fellows, and I was a younger fellow back in those days, sometimes I'd say, Dr. Rice, Bill Harvey and I, there's a bowling lane across the street over here. Bill Harvey and I, we're going to go bowl a few games. Why don't you come with us? And Dr. Rice say, I've got to get the sword of the Lord out. That was always his stock answer. I've got to work on the sword of the Lord. And I'd walk over and put my arm around his old shoulders, and I'd say, Dr. Rice, you're not going to work on the sword of the Lord. You're going to take an afternoon nap, and you know it. I'd say, Dr. Rice, did you know Bill Harvey and I love you? And you know that it won't be the same without you. In fact, I don't even think we're going to go without you. Well, I guess I could work on the sword after church tonight. And the old man come over and beat us both in bowling. Next time we didn't ask him to go. He wanted me to want him. Sometimes I wonder if we ought not to come to God and say, dear God, didn't come for anything. Just want you. That's all. God comes with such credentials. I got one of the sweetest letters I ever got in my life this week. Last Sunday night, it was written by one of the men on the staff. Last Sunday night. Went to his office and wrote it. Stuck it under my door. Late Sunday night. Said something like this. Said, dear Brother Hiles, said tonight you told us how much you loved us and told us you wish you could think of vocabulary where you could tell us how much you love us. He said something like this, if you think you have trouble telling us you love us, think of the trouble we have. He said, Brother Howes, you've been loving folks for 40 years as pastor of a church. I've just been loving folks for 11 years on the staff. He said, you've loved hundreds of thousands of people. I've just loved a few people. He said, you think you've got trouble talking where we can understand you. He said, those of us that don't have all the experience of loving like you've had, he said, think I must feel. And he started listing little things he had said to me and done for me. And he said, Brother House, all those things, I'm just trying to tell you how much I love you. I didn't mind reading that letter at all. I read it again yesterday. The 103rd time. I wonder if God wouldn't like somebody to come to him and say, I could love you. Look at God's credentials. I've loved for 40 years, my people for 40 years. God's love for eternity. I've loved a few hundred thousand. God's loved billions. He offers you omniscience. He knows everything. He offers you omnipresence. He's everywhere. He offers you omnipotence. He's all-powerful. He offers you eternity for time and a love that's unfathomable, a wisdom incomparable, and an eternity of mercy and caring and compassion. He offers you that. And all he asks you to do is convince him that you want him. Aren't you ashamed? Aren't we ashamed? Give him, give me, give me, give me. And he wants to do that, but he also wants you to want him. He wants to be wanted. He wants to be wanted. And once you can get him to talking, you'll be surprised. Because he's clothed with light. He's not hidden and clothed in darkness. He's clothed in light. And every time he gives you a truth, there are other truths that are clothed in mystery of light. And you start searching to have those truths revealed. There's a mystique. I often say this. I think young couples that get married, I think they ought to keep mystique. I think you make a mistake to know each other too well. I think you make a mistake come to the breakfast table in your pajamas. I really do. I mean, brother, when Sarah called Abraham Lord, he wasn't laying on the sofa in his shorts watching TV. With his stomach looking like he just swallowed a watermelon. I breathe out, I'm going to kill three people in the front row here with a button. But I really think, I think one of the most important words in the world is the word mystique. What is a mystique? It's somebody you'd like to sit and talk with and explore their mind. You think of somebody now, you say, well, if I could just have an hour and just explore that mind. I believe if I had an hour, before that night, I'd want 2 hours then and two more hours. Is anybody like that? Okay, that's what God is. If you can convince him that you want him, that's all. That's all. I'll close with this. 22 years I preach with older men. Now I preach. Most everywhere I preach, I'm the oldest fellow on the program. About once a year, I preach with Dr. Robertson. He's about the only preacher of Ada left that's older than I am. I preach with Dr. Robertson. And I find myself wanting to cater to him like I used to Dr. John. And I love it. I love it. And I find Dr. Robertson, the older he gets, Brother Jerry, more he loves it too. He cries like he never used to cry. When he walks with me, he'll reach up and take my elbow and hold my elbow while he walks with me. But you know, every time I'm with him, I find myself having to convince him I really want to be with him. Dr. Robertson? You're going to have lunch today?
Yeah, I think so. That's right. Yes, Sam. That's it. Sure.
Dr. Robertson, would you like to eat with me?
You go ahead. You go ahead. You go ahead. You fellows go ahead. I may.
Dr. Robertson, I don't get to be with you very much. Would you eat with me?
You go ahead. You've got business to care for. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. That's right. Go ahead. I'll go to McDonald's.
I said, Doc, that's where I was going. I said, Dr. Robertson, I really want to eat with you. If you'd just be willing to let me have just 30 minutes or so, I know that maybe you're busy.
Okay, that's right. Okay, that's it. I'll go.
You know why? Because he's so used to walking up here. It's hard for him to believe anybody would like to come up here and walk with him. And that's the way God is. But I know God well enough to know this. With this, I quit. he really does love for somebody to want him. He wants you to want his food, his clothing. He wants you to want his provision. But he wants you most to want him. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus. And Jesus is everything. Our Heavenly Father,